Amen. Boy, I tell you what a worshipful day. What a worshipful time together. Pastor John Cowan, that was here and preached last week, said that as he's traveled around in retirement and preached in lots of different places, he was very glad and thankful to get to come here to Ledrock and worship with us, because he, as others have said, just senses the Spirit of God here and the power of the Spirit and just the worshipful attitude of our worship team and you guys. So days like today, just it's just nice to be here. Nice to be here and to praise and worship. So thank you guys, you worship team, for being here and leading us in such a worshipful time. And so we continue here as we look at God's Word. But first something, well, I think Dick asked, how do you like the weather this morning? And I don't know, mixed reviews. Maybe we're not quite ready for winter to come, but it sure is pretty outside. I had one of the football players help me the other day do some work at the house. And by the way, it's coming along great. Got a lot of some demolition done and some huge changes that are really going to make it even better, even more livable. So excited about that. If you want to drop by, just drop by or give me a call or whatever. Make sure someone is there. I'd love for you to see it in progress. And some of you have been heavily involved in that. So thank you guys very much. But anyway, the football player that helped me, Mario is his name. He is from Florida, and he has never been around snow. Never yet. That little bit we had a week or so ago, that's the first time he's been around snow. And I said, well, just wait. We're likely to get a little more. But the neat thing about the snow, well, one of the things that I love about Ely, I've said from the beginning, birch trees have always been my favorite tree. I have always loved birch, and what's really cool about here is the birch trees mixed in with the evergreens. That white and the dark green, it's striking. It's beautiful. I love contrast. I like that dark and light. Our home looks really beautiful from the outside, and I think one day it will look beautiful on the inside as well. But they put this gray siding with white corner posts. I love that contrast. It really looks neat. I enjoy contrast, things that are different. It makes it stand out. I like a light wall and a dark wall. Difference, contrast, things like that. The snow now on the evergreen trees. How beautiful. I mean, we buy stuff in the store to sprinkle on our Christmas trees to make it attempt to look as good as it does outside in God's creation. Beautiful, wonderful, amazing. Today's sermon is about contrast, or more specifically, difference. Things that are different, one extreme to another. Generally, contrast is good. We appreciate that. Difference is okay, it's good. It generally makes us better, like light and dark. Different. What a difference. Night and day, light and dark, black and white. How about camo and blaze orange? Nowadays, they're making blaze orange camo. What's that all about? Being from Illinois, the Cubs and the Cards. Huge difference, huge contrast. Growing up smack in the middle of Illinois, it was 50-50, Cubs and Cards. My first church, 2 hours south, it was almost all Cardinal fans. Man, was the deck stacked heavily against us Cub fans, us Jesus-following Cub fans. Today we're going to take a look at differences, something that is very different, radically different, like sweet and sour, sweet and savory. I love things like that. Did you know I like crunchy stuff in my ice cream? I like that. Usually it's in a form of some kind of candy, but like that crunchy in the soft ice cream, I like that difference and that contrast. Today is about a difference that's much more important than what you put or take in your ice cream. We're talking today about an eternal difference, the difference between respect and reverence. We're going to be in the book of Luke today, the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. Now, Luke is interesting. You ladies, I should have Miss Joanne come up and give us a background on the book of Luke. The ladies' Tuesday morning Bible study, 9:30 downstairs, lots of treats and snacks. They went over the book of Luke here some time ago. Luke is interesting. Luke is different than the other Gospels in that Luke was a doctor, and he's very specific, very precise. I personally like that as well. Luke wrote this narrative to fill in the gaps, be more detailed, inform people a very accurate eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, which we call the gospel of Jesus. And so where we pick up today, again, in Luke 17, it's right in the middle of Jesus' ministry. He is traveling around Israel. He's traveling and preaching, teaching. He's doing many signs and wonders. Right now, he's engaged in lots and lots of parables, speaking spiritual truths in earthly forms to allow the Spirit to open people's eyes. It's just interesting the way that Jesus taught and spoke to people. But anyway, Jesus is engaged in ministry. He is being followed by people. He's traveling around. Right now, he's going between Judea and Samaria. None of that's super important. What is what happens in this passage that we're going to look at, and just what a contrast between two different types of people. So let me just get into Scripture, and we'll continue. Again, Luke 17, picking up in verse 11. Should have said that earlier so you can find it. Verse 11, the Scripture reads, it says, while traveling to Jerusalem, he, meaning Jesus, he passed between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. Okay, let me start over. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice he gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, this chance to gather together to praise and worship you and to share in your word. Father, I thank you for speaking to us and revealing who you are and what you've done for us in your word. And Father, I thank you for this message that you have given to me and laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you take it, you take this truth and you speak it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. And Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and minds that we can hear your word and understand more clearly about what it means to love and follow after you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. So today we're looking at this difference, this contrast between two very important, very different things in reverence and respect. And I want us to be solid on the difference so that we never get caught in only doing one and failing to do the other one. So first, let's look at respect, because there was some legit respect going on here from these 10 lepers. And so the first few verses, Jesus says, while he was traveling to Jerusalem between Samaria and Galilee, as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus and Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And then listen to this. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Why were these 10 men off at a distance? Why did they not just simply run up to Jesus and ask him to heal them and just simply speak to him right there face to face? Why were they so far off? And what was it that they needed healed from? Well, we know them to be lepers, to have leprosy. Leprosy is a big term. It's a broad term that's used to describe a skin disorder. And there were varying degrees and varying types of skin disorders or leprosy. Leprosy was absolutely considered unclean among the Jewish people. Back in the book of Leviticus, God addressed that and what people that were afflicted with this skin disease. Again, varying degrees, one large term, leprosy, covering a large degree of different problems with skin. But the people that had these issues, this leprosy, were to be outside of camp. Most of it was contagious, considered a result of sin, very, very bad, far, far removed. And so the people weren't allowed, these lepers weren't allowed to be close to the flow of traffic. They had to stand far off. In fact, they had to holler out unclean when people were around so that no one would be accidentally get too close to one of these folks. I've got a list of some of the symptoms of leprosy so that we're a little clearer on what exactly was going on here as we look at these 10 lepers that were healed, all physically and one healed spiritually. First symptoms of leprosy, remember, very bad, very unclean, not a good thing. People would feel a little tired, and then their joints would ache just a little bit, and their hair would begin to turn white. Anyone in here experiencing tired, achy joints, hair turning white? Well, it goes on. Then some nodules would have, because maybe you're thinking, uh-oh, I should go out of the sanctuary and holler unclean. Then nodules would appear on the body, and these nodules would weep pus that smelled horrible. The leprosy would begin to spread throughout the body. A victim's face would swell up greatly, become round and disfigured, and then it would affect the vocal cords. Dick said he couldn't shout very loud because his voice didn't work that way. His hair's getting kind of white. How do your joints feel this morning? The vocal cords would be affected, and they would have a raspy voice. Then the extremities would be affected, hands and feet. The nose would get severely wide and begin to decay and fall away. Ears, the same thing. Then leprosy would attack the central nervous system. Victims would lose the ability to feel pain. Maybe that was a good thing because as they walked, their feet would start to fall apart and they would leave slimy tracks where they wandered. Then they were social outcasts. A victim of leprosy would have to stand off outside of the camp, outside of the city, on the very edge. They would lose their friends. They would lose their families. They were spiritual outcasts. They couldn't go worship any longer. They couldn't make sacrifices. They couldn't go to the synagogue. Leprosy was a big deal. It was considered a result of sin. And a lot of times, after 7 years of the most severe cases, the victims would simply die from this great disease. These lepers, these 10 lepers, as Jesus and his followers entered this village, stood far off to the side, and they hollered out the best they could with their voices. They hollered out, "Jesus, Master, save us, help us, and heal us." They showed respect. They were adhering to the Jewish customs and the Jewish laws. That we think 9 of these lepers were Jewish and one was a Samaritan. We don't know for certain. We know for sure one was a Samaritan. But the Samaritan was allowed to be with the Jews because of their sharing this leprosy disease together. And so they knew these customs and they stayed far, far off. In verse 13, I love how this is spelled out and portrayed. It says, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Not only did they show Jesus and his followers and the other townspeople respect by staying off to the side, they also recognized something in Jesus. They called him Master. They hollered out Master, and they asked him to save them, to heal them, to cleanse them, and to make them whole again. They had an awareness that Jesus was great, that something special was going on with this Jesus of Nazareth, and the respect that they showed led them to even obey Jesus when he said, when he saw them, verse 14, when he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." That was what was required for a leper that had been healed to be allowed back into society. They had to go and show themselves to the priests to be pronounced, officially pronounced clean. Now, they had to show themselves to the priest after they were healed. Jesus said, "Go right now. You're still a leper. Go right now and show yourselves to the priests." And then listen to the respect that they showed. It says, "And while they were going," they're already obeying before they'd seen any promise fulfilled from Jesus. "And as they were going, they were cleansed." They were healed, cleansed of their leprosy, and made right again. The respect that they showed led to obedience, even though they yet did not know for sure who this Jesus really was. Now, many people are like the 10 lepers. Understand Jesus is good, maybe even great. I've heard it said a lot from people of varying religions. "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I like him very much." Teresa knows what the movie I'm quoting. Anyway, they understand there's something good about Jesus, and they want to know more about Jesus, interested in him, and even willing to show some respect. "Yeah, Jesus, good teacher, good prophet, an honorable man." Well, geez, I got a lot to say about that. But it's interesting, as people understand respect for Jesus, my first church was about 4 miles out in the country outside of Carlinville, Illinois. Well, people that had gone there their whole lives thought everyone in the world knew where Charity Baptist Church was. It was 170 years old. I mean, come on. Everybody knows where Charity is. Well, as we lived in lived there and ministered in the town, we realized not everyone knew where Charity Baptist Church was. So we invested in signs out on the highway and then signs at the intersections to help people find their way to the church. I know, brilliant, right? I thought that was funnier than what Joanne, thank you, Joanne and Teresa, for laughing at my joke. But what was interesting was we've got these big, nice, beautiful signs out there, and all of the street signs, all the road signs, all the bridge, like, you know, everything had some sort of graffiti on it. Little bits, you know, kids being kids, whatever. And I thought, how long will our signs make it before, because big white, you know, purposefully very visible, how long will it make it before they get, you know, graffitied or vandalized or whatever as well? Interest, 4.5 years is now that I know, 10 years, never been vandalized. Every sign around them has, but not the signs that we put up that said Charity Baptist Church, y'all are welcome to come. People know that Jesus is good. Even non-believers, even atheists understand and have some respect for this historical figure named Jesus of Nazareth. Many people are like the lepers. There's this awareness that Jesus is special. It's interesting. I could go into so much detail. The time of Jesus' birth, there was this awareness throughout the world that it was a very special, unique time as God, the Father, sent God the Son to be born of a virgin. It's amazing. People, in their sensing of Jesus being special and great and showing respect, they often will turn to Jesus for help, asking for help. And then a lot of times God, in his infinite greatness and goodness, will exhibit his grace and answer people's pleas for help and show them his grace and mercy. And then sometimes the people will turn, say thank you, and walk away from God. Many people throughout the ages have sensed this need for God. God has created humans with a God-shaped hole inside us that only He can fill, and people will sense this yearning for something more and feel a need to go to church and come to church for a while looking for something. They'll try religion for a while and then maybe turn away. Respect is common among people when it comes to Jesus. He's no doubt a very good and honorable guy. Respect is good, but there's an eternal difference between respect and reverence, the thing that we will look at next. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "But one of them, seeing that he was healed," remember they were healed on the way to the priest, "one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice," the best voice he could offer up, in fact, at this point, I'm sure it was a loud voice again, "with his renewed loud voice, he gave glory to God. He fell face down at Jesus' feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan." In the last verse, "and he," Jesus, "told him, get up and go on your way because your faith has saved you." I love these verses. I love the description of how someone that had encountered Jesus, been changed and healed and cleansed, and he realized that Jesus had done it, he comes back and thanks Jesus. He thanks him. We're right on the doorstep of Thanksgiving. One of my favorite holidays, absolutely. One of his best gifts is turkey, especially if you smoke it lightly and correctly, get a nice good skin and golden brown and juicy and delicious. How many more days before Thanksgiving? But even better than turkey is dressing. You can actually keep the turkey. Give me dressing with some gravy. I'm good for like a week. On the eve of Thanksgiving, what if we had such thankfulness in our hearts for our God and who He is and how great He is? In fact, yesterday, I'll share a quick story with you. We're at the new house, 1003 East Harvey Street. We live on Avenue E, we're calling it. Eberts, Elderbrooks, and Elmquist. It's Avenue E, right over there, two blocks off of Sheridan. Amazing gift that God has given to us. And we have amazing friends that are helping us make the house even more usable and beautiful. And then we had a friend stop by, and they took our kids to the movies, and our kids have friends, and then they're going to Campaigners through Wildlife, you know, the Young Life program here in town. And I just stopped, and I had tears in my eyes, thanking God for His glory and His goodness, bringing us together to experience life like this together. And I think I can just begin to scratch the surface of the thankfulness that, like this leper, would have had toward Jesus for being cleansed and made right, and now his life could resume, all because of the healing powers of the Messiah. The difference between respect and now what we're seeing in this reverence. Reverence is a deep honor shown to someone, a deep honor and profound and awed respect shown to someone. 10 lepers, probably 9 Jewish, 1 a Samaritan. Vast difference. Talk about a difference. Whole cultural, just ethnic difference. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were considered half-breeds and outcasts, and they did not socialize normally. 9 lepers were appreciative for being healed. 1 was thankful and showed reverence for the Lord. 1 returned praising and worshiping Jesus. I love how it's spelled out here in verse 15. "But one of them, the Samaritan, seeing that he was healed, he returned, and with his loud voice, he gave glory to God, thanking God for his healing." So thankful. And I Can just imagine, however affected his vocal cords were before this, and now he's got his voice back. And with this loud voice, he's just praying, he's shouting to the Lord, shouting triumphantly. Notice he's giving glory to God. What a picture of reverence. That's what worship is all about. That's what we do when we gather and we praise and worship the Lord together. But then, as much as I love that, shouting out, verse 16, he fell down, fell face down at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. At the time, the Jews thought they were the only people that God would ever save. And here's this Samaritan that had been healed. And not only is he shouting, but he's falling down, face down. What a sign of humility and awe and respect and reverence for Jesus, praising and glorifying God. All of the lepers that were healed showed interest in Jesus. They showed respect for Jesus. Everyone showed respect and even obedience, which was interesting if you think about that. Listening to him and following up with what Jesus told them to do before anything had happened. But see, Jesus isn't fooled by interest. He's not even fooled by respect. Jesus, being God, can see our hearts. He knows our hearts. He's way more interested in our heart than our actions. Verse 17 and 18, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Were not 10 lepers cleansed? Where are the other 9? Didn't any of the other ones return to give glory to God except this foreigner?'" Jesus will answer prayers. He will meet people, hurting people, sick people where they're at, showing respect, crying out, that interest, that desire. Who is this Jesus? He will hear those and answer, but again, he knows our hearts. Only one leper returned that was actually thankful for what had happened. As sick and gross as leprosy is, I mean, I read those things and it's terrible, terrible what happens to a leper before they die. As sick and gross and horrible as leprosy is, our sin is so much worse. Our sin, which sin is simply breaking any of God's absolute perfection, his rules, his idea for us. He created mankind to be perfect and holy, to have relationship with him. But in free will, we chose to sin and broke all of that. And our sin, one sin or a million sins, the Bible says, has earned death. It's earned eternal separation from this holy and perfect God, and then a place of judgment for those that are still found at death in their sin. And so ugly, horrible, deadly ramifications for sin, worse than leprosy. But God, in his infinite love, he proved how much he loved us in sending Jesus. God the Son left the glory of heaven and came down to earth and was born of a virgin. And Jesus lived an absolute, perfect, sinless life. He fulfilled and completed the law and all of its requirements for us because we never could. He did it for us. And then Jesus, again, showing his love, he willingly went to the cross, and on the cross allowed himself to be crucified, bled, and died as the Lamb of God to pay the penalty for our sins. And they took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb. But it was only a borrowed tomb, because on the third day, Jesus came back from the dead fully to life. And in so doing, he was resurrected and defeated sin and death and hell forever and ever. That anyone that by faith will repent of sins, cry out to Jesus, will be saved and experience God's grace in our lives. So the question that we have to ask ourselves today, I mean, this is a neat account of history. It's not a story. This is an account, an accurate account of history. The question we have to ask ourselves after hearing this type of an account is, where are are we at with this sort of thing? Where are we at? Which category are we in? Are we one that shows respect to Jesus? Or are we one that shows reverence to Jesus? Because there is a huge difference. There is a monumental difference between the two. In fact, there's an eternal difference between the two. Because see now, because of what Jesus did, not only did he heal, he gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and even raising the dead back to life, he also humbled himself to the point of death. And now because of Jesus' humility and his sacrifice, Jesus has been given the name that is above every name. And one day, at the name of Jesus, every single knee will bow on heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus is worthy of everything. He is worthy of all that we have, of every part of who we are. We are to love God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind because he is worthy. He didn't just talk about doing good things for us. He actually did them. And in giving us salvation from our sin, he's given us the greatest gift ever, an eternity in glory that will be far beyond our wildest dreams. He is worthy of our not just respect, but also our reverence, holy worship before him. As we look forward to Thanksgiving, let's never forget to give Jesus all the awe and honor and respect and glory and reverence that he is due. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for healing us from something that's far worse than leprosy. Lord, we thank you for healing us from the consequences of sin. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, for the gift of eternal life, the creation of a new human being inside us. Lord, I thank you for this gift of joy and peace and patience and love for people that goes far beyond our abilities. Lord, I thank you for bringing us together and allowing us to celebrate you together and to encourage each other to go out and to be you all over. Lord, we just love you and thank you. Father, help each one of us to not fall guilty of simply respecting you, but to live a life fully in reverence of you because you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.